We're going to be kind of in the neighborhood here for how long, I'm not sure. But some weeks ago, we started talking about the gospel. The gospel, that word gospel means good news. It's just a simple, everyday word, good news. So in references to the gospel in the scriptures, when it uses that word, it means good news. And so, and it's used in that context of various places. Yes, the gospel is Jesus Christ, born sinless, sin of the world come upon him, crucified, resurrected, faith in him brings eternal life, and one is born again. Yes, that is the gospel, but that is not all of the gospel. Anything that is the good news from the scriptures is gospel. So we've been talking about that for a while. We started with a text where Paul said he's not ashamed of the power of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation, also a general purpose word, doesn't just mean eternal life in the presence of the Lord. It means being delivered and saved from whatever you need saving from. And so the gospel is the good news that would bring salvation, deliverance, help, setting one free from any kind of oppression or problem, any good news. That is the power of God unto salvation. And so we spent a little bit of time talking about things other than gospel is preached in so many churches, in so many places. You know, some politics, some social stuff, some maybe racial stuff in some places and so on. All kinds of things are preached that Jesus didn't preach, that Paul didn't preach, that Peter didn't preach. And so I've been talking about for some time, we need to preach what Jesus preached. We need to preach what the Apostle Paul preached. And we need to preach what what Peter preached. And even, I'm picking out New Testament writers here and apostles. But to be honest with you, we need to preach what the Old Covenant preaches too. Amen. There's so many things that the prophet preached. In fact, Jesus didn't have a New Testament to preach from. He preached the Old Testament. Paul didn't have a New Testament to preach from. You can see him masterfully arguing the Old Testament scriptures. Same with Peter, same with John, same with all of them. There was no New Testament scriptures until these folks wrote letters and expounded and explained things from the Old Testament. So, it's very clear that the Old Testament contains good news too. It contains gospel as well. And so we've been making that case that we need to preach what Jesus preached, preach what the apostles preached, don't add things to it, and don't subtract away things from it. And probably the biggest one that I pointed out was things in the area of many well-denominational churches, certainly, but others as well, have dropped off so many things and focus on the central core being born again in Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with preaching that and preaching that a lot. But they want to tell us things like, well, yeah, Jesus healed, and the apostles, they did some healing miracles as well, but that's all for back then, and it's no more today. Well, where's your scripture on that? Well, it's pretty obvious, you know, we don't see much of it, so it must be as God's wills to heal some, not others. Well, where's your scripture on that? And what I have learned all these years, reading, studying my Bible, listening to preachers preach the word and so on, is that there are many mistaken ideas being taught, and there's been more, shall we say, subtractions or deletions from the gospel than anything else. And so we need to preach what the Bible preaches. Amen. So after about talking about that for about 4 weeks, I started last week talking about what Jesus did preach and one of the things he mentioned, and we'll go to the scripture where that comes from. Luke 4:18, please. Luke 4:18. And I'm going to talk a little bit today, nothing you haven't heard before. We need to be reminded. We need to be stirred up. We need to build faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Those words were present and ongoing tense. So, and I think we'll turn to that scripture again today, but so we need to be reminded and hear it and hear it and hear it. And if you're like me, you've heard things, and then it could be a day comes along and you hear it one more time, and you all of a sudden you go, how come I didn't see that before? And something brand new opens to you, or there's an understanding, the light bulb comes on, even though you heard it, you could quote it, you could tell others about it, but still, it didn't settle in your heart and begin to grow. So if you don't repeat some things, that doesn't happen. Amen. And remember, it's not an academic pursuit. It's hearing the words, hearing the good news, so that my spirit can be fed, my soul, my mind can be renewed, and so on. So we'll look here. I'm really thinking about some things I heard Keith Moore talking about this week, too. You know, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you're not hearing truth, you're not going to be made free. And if things that people say to one another, even preachers say in pulpits, if they're not the truth, it won't make people free. Amen. So we need to be putting out truth, always seeing truth. If it's not truth, it can't help. It can't deliver. And maybe you could well imagine, maybe you've been there, you know, in some places, some churches, not to fault, I'm just saying, you know, brothers in the Lord, brothers and sisters in the Lord, preach the truth.
Amen.
You know, and if they're not preaching the truth, they haven't helped anybody that day. Oh, they may feel a little better. They may feel cheered up some. They may, you know, come away, well, see, it's not my fault, or whatever, but they haven't been helped. Amen. Amen. Luke 4:18, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. We talked about this last week. We're going to stay with this a little bit again this week. One of the good newses that Jesus preached was good news to poor folk.
Yes.
And if you'll do the homework, read through the scriptures and so on, it is not referring to spiritually poor, though there is such a thing, I suppose you could say. But it is talking about plain old, everyday, not enough resources. Amen. There's good news for people that don't have quite enough. Amen. What would good news be for somebody who doesn't have enough? That's a good way to put it. In a single word, more. There's more. There's more. There's more. Amen. And so to take it a little further today, last week what we did is went to the scriptures. What did Jesus say that might be words to people with not quite enough? And we looked at those things. And one of the things we noticed, and I think one of the key, is from Matthew chapter 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. And he was talking about food, shelter, clothing, basics, things that people need, things that poor people would have questions about, maybe be in short supply of. You know, he said, all these things shall be added to you. Well, that's good news unless you refuse to seek first the kingdom. But I learned when I was a much younger man and I started a family, married one, maybe the second child along by that time, and there was not enough. And it felt like I was poor. Amen. Found that verse and saw that and said, well, it's true or it's not true. Which is it? I'm going to treat it like it's true. I'm going to believe it. And Sandy and I rearranged some things in our lives to seek kingdom first. Kingdom first. Kingdom first. Kingdom above work. Kingdom above family. Kingdom above everything else. Did I say kingdom above family? Yes, I did. Above everything else. There can only be one first. So, and we found that God added to us. And those things we are in desperate need of, began to turn around and be supplied to us. And we just never stopped seeking first the kingdom. And we discovered it wasn't only for food, shelter, and clothing. It grew from there to today where we're well supplied and even abundant. And the Word talks about that as well. So good news or gospel to the poor is more. There's more for you. God wants more. And I mentioned Matthew 6 again to say this. The good news came in the form of instructions. Amen. I mean, if I were to tell you today, hey, whatever bills you got, I'm going to pay them. Well, that would be good news. But maybe if I'm, let's Father's Day, let's say a good father and you're one of mine. I'm not only going to help, I'm going to help the right way, which would be I'm going to point you in the direction of how to receive from God. Because in the end, He's my supplier. Anything I have, I receive from Him. And if I give to you, why don't I just connect you directly? Amen. So instructions of a father or a mother is a good thing. It's good news. So, you know, if somebody says, hey, you're not quite doing this right, do it this way. That's good news. Amen. Praise the Lord. So preach the gospel to the poor. We'll finish. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Well, there's another gospel there. To proclaim liberty to the captives, and yet another set of good news, recovery of sight to the blind. You could just generally say blind, lack of eyesight, and he lacked physical body at all. There's gospel for that. There's good news for that. Amen. And to set at liberty them that are oppressed, all kinds of things oppress us. That's the devil, and that's his job, is to depress you and oppress you, wrap you up and tie you in knots. Well, there is gospel to set you at liberty. Amen. So there's a representation here, I would say, not a comprehensive list, but every need that there could be, there's good news for that need. Amen. Amen. So I spent, I don't know, 4 weeks talking about how important it is to preach the good news for those things. Well, why don't we preach the good news of those things a little bit? And so you take any one of these, this gospel to the poor, that as a for instance, I think we could preach for a year on that easily from the Scriptures. And then maybe move to the next one. Now, we'll follow the leading of God. We won't, I don't believe, preach for a year on gospel to the poor. But we certainly could, because if you were ever given the task or started thinking about, okay, I got to teach what the Bible says about God meeting our needs, and you start digging into it and you figure out, that'd take a long time because there's an awful lot in the Bible relating to this subject, God meeting our needs here upon the earth. And we do a lot of playing for Pastor Sandy during her breakfast time, and I hear it myself as well. We play Brother Keith Moore's Faith School. If you haven't found it, you need to check out that resource. It is, my gosh. I couldn't extol how wonderful it is enough. We have focused on, and I think there's 237 episodes on physical healing, on healing for the body. Well, that'll take you a while to do 237 episodes on that. But it's just step-by-step teaching the Word. So awesome, so good. Well, I started the one on the area he called Faith for Provision. And even today I'm thinking, how do I title this? What am I talking about? You know, the gospel to the poor. Well, once you have enough that your needs are met, are you still poor? Well, probably not. But you still have needs, don't you? And when you know more of the whole counsel of the Scriptures, you see that God's not only interested in just enough, He's interested even in abundance so that you can share with others. And it even goes so far as the Lord gives you the power to get wealth. Now, wealth makes people mad. Why is that? I suppose it's simply plain old-fashioned covetousness. When someone has more than what you have, you know that little twinge on the inside? Does that happen to you? Probably happens to everybody, right? At some point. And if you have grown in your life, certainly Sandy and I have, to where we have abundance and more abundance and more abundance, which, by the way, even with what many would consider plenty of abundance, there's still needs. And I'll probably talk about that some today. If not today, we'll have to get to it. What are your needs? Well, it kind of depends on who you are. Amen. So anyway, if you want to call it the covenant of provision or the gospel, the good news of provision, that'd be a good way to phrase it. That's what Brother Keith Moore did. There are 127 episodes on provision, God's promise of provision on Brother Keith's faith school. I get an hour once a week to minister the word to you, and I can tell you one of my great dilemmas and frustrations is that's so little time to accomplish so much in so many people's lives with so many different needs. And it was just, you know, it was just overwhelming almost to me this week. If you and I don't, in addition to church, do something to add the good news to ourselves, we won't be strong in good news. We won't know what belongs to us. We won't pursue what belongs to us. Things will happen and discourage us, and we'll see the negative and not the potential. And to have a tool like this, Faith School, Brother Keith Moore, 127 episodes on the gospel or good news or God's promise of provision. That's more valuable than $10 million. Amen. 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 I could take $1 million and divvy it up to everyone in this room, and it wouldn't be as valuable as those 127 teachings that would teach you how to get your own million. Amen. Amen. So I'm encouraging you, if you want to be strong in any of this, if you have some needs, build your faith in the good news. And it's so easy now. I mean, it used to be I had to go out and manually study and look for things and go to meetings and find books and read books, and all of that's still good. But my goodness, you know, I got 3 or 4 or 5 ways on different devices that I can, in seconds, have the word coming to me in one of these avenues. Amen. You know, I mean, you can get Pastor Nancy, Brother Keith Moore, Pastor Scott Webb, Jerry Savelle, just on and on and on, whatever your flavor is. You know, you can have the good news being delivered to you. Amen. 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 Oh, I was about to say this, you know, the gospel of provision, good news for provision. It's probably just old-fashioned covetousness, but I was listening to the radio this week. Sometimes I just have it on. I was driving in town here, I had been to go pick up a pizza for supper because Tammy wanted one. So I hear a radio interview. This guy is doing an interview, and the host is anything but a godly man. Political commentator, and sometimes by the time of day when his show comes on, sometimes I leave it, sometimes turn it off. But he's interviewing an evangelist. He doesn't even know how to say the word evangelist, the host, and trying to draw out from this guy and so on. And part of his method is to be insulting and name-calling and all of that, you know, that makes interesting radio, they say, or they think. But anyway, but he got the evangelist going on the church after money. After money, after money, you know. And I thought to myself, and this evangelist, God's using him mightily in a particular area, but he joined in on the condemnation of people seeking to have not... He was, I think, referring more to greed and when there are churches that are just given to money, 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 money. And I thought to myself, listening to the fella, he needs some good news. God's using him mightily as he is. It's the fellow that maybe you've seen a video of him, but he was born without arms or legs. And God's using him mightily in high school assemblies and different things. But they got on that subject, and I thought, brother, you need to stay in your lane because you are wrong about some of the things he was saying there. But there's good news. God wants to provide for you. And depending on your calling and your need, and I've been interested in aviation. I've been up in the private jets with a couple of different ministers, three, four of them, different ones, and all of that. And boy, that just some church people, airplane, jet, no one needs a jet. Hang on a second. Brother Jesse, as a for instance, when he preaches in one place at noon and another place at night, every night, it takes a jet to get there. So it depends on who you are. Depends on your calling. Not to mention, what would really be wrong with having something nice if you seek God's kingdom first? Amen. So it's probably just old-fashioned covetousness. But I'm here to tell you there is good news for wherever you're at. If you haven't eaten in 3 days and you need a meal, God has good news for you. If you found plenty to eat, in fact, you are a little abundant in person, still, God can meet your needs, whatever they are. I was going to say this somewhere. Maybe I'll just toss it in right here. Your needs are defined by you. You don't need really good and nice food. You need food. It could be argued. On the other hand, there are times when I need a steak. There are times when I need shrimp or crab legs or something like that. You need shelter. A cardboard box is shelter. Or a house where you can really spread out and it's in good repair and maybe some property. I need property. I don't know about you. I have around my home about 17 acres, right? I need that. I just don't feel right without some space around me. Amen? So maybe you're not that way. But you get to define your own needs. And there's a real temptation that comes from the enemy once you have some clothes, once you have a place to live, once you have some food to say, oh, you don't need that. You can't say you need that. You may say, we need a new car. We need a new truck. Well, do we? One could argue if it gets you from here to there, that need's been met. But if it requires service and you're never really sure about that car and so on, yeah, you need a better car. But as you grow in God, you can start to see that God doesn't have a problem with you needing something more. In fact, He encourages such things. Amen. Amen. Sandy and I went to Bible school, came back, tried to find a place to live. Everywhere we turned, we had four children. That's too many. They wouldn't let us buy mobile home in one particular trailer park. Oh, well, you have four kids. We have a three-kid maximum here in this park. We couldn't rent an apartment. No, too many kids and so on. And buy a house. And well, we were just coming out of Bible school, didn't have a lot yet and all that kind of thing. But that, and finally we built a house. Then we started the church down here, and that was a long drive from there to here. We were doing that three times a week. And on my birthday, Tim and I climbed Mount Elbert in Colorado, And when I climb, it's a spiritual experience for me. I get to the top, always raise my hands and worship God. Anyway, I'm doing that. He and I are standing on the top of Mount Elbert, and the Lord said to me, build. We had bought land where we are now, and it was just, how do we build a house? What do we build? Where does the money come from? All that kind of stuff. He said, build the house you see in your heart. Amen. Amen. And some of you have been to my house. It's a little bit special. It's a good one. It's nice. It's big. All of that, you know, but he told me to do that. And can you say you needed that? Yes, I needed that. Because it honored God that I would believe him and step out. And I've told this story before, but, you know, one time I step out of my bedroom onto my balcony, and the balcony of my house overlooks a great room, you know, all of that down there and everything. It's kind of big, grand, somewhat impressive, all that. And the Lord said to me, I had to give you this house. Amen. And he had my attention at that. You had to give me this house? If that's how it works, I want to know what else you got to give me. Right? Let's find out here. Wait, you had to give me this house. All right. And then I said, Lord, you had to give me this house? Yeah, he said, yeah. How else would people know that it pays to follow me if they can't see it? My house is a demonstration of the goodness of God, and a man and a woman who are willing to follow him, putting the kingdom first. And all of these things we've done in these years, it's been with a pastor's salary, which is good, better than most, but it's not what you go into to become wealthy. I'm going to be wealthy. I know I'm going to become a minister. That'll get me wealthy. it's not usually how that works, right? But nonetheless, we've lived in the blessing of God, and I've understood my needs are relative to my calling and relative to what I can believe to receive from God. Amen. And I've gotten to where I don't buy anything cheap. I find the good one, buy the good one, and so on. And, well, you don't need a good one, you just need one. You get to decide for yourself what your need is. Amen. And if a better one ministers peace to you and is your testimony of the goodness of God, then you need a good one, a better one, the best one. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know if I have you with me or not. But anyway, let's go to Romans 10 and verse 12. I got a lot of scripture here with almost no notes written. I don't know what I'm going to say today. I'm going to try to cover. And as I put this together, there's too much to cover in one setting, and I barely scratched the surface on this. But we're going to try. Romans 10 verse 12, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. So we're here. Notice the Jewish folk are a covenant people with God, right? But here in the New Testament, we understand there's no difference. There's no distinction. And we'll expound on that a little bit later. But the Lord is rich to all who call on him. It says in verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered. Doesn't matter who you are. You call on God, he brings delivering power. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? You have to believe. How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? A preacher. Okay, let's connect the dots now. The gospel has to be preached. We won't go there, but I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 where it talks about God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. Salvation comes, deliverance comes at the preaching of the word. That's what we're doing right here. Your answer will come in the preaching of the word. And somebody that's at home sleeping or whatever they're doing and not hearing the preaching of the word is not profiting and not gaining anything this morning. So it says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Now when it says gospel of peace, is there a gospel of peace? Yes, there is. But the whole gospel is the message of peace. God is not out to get you is a pretty good point of good news. Amen. Amen. So, beautiful feet. I have beautiful feet. I preach the gospel, the good news. Amen. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, we often quote verse 17 in isolation without the context that we just read. But the gospel, the good news in any area, is the report of the Lord. And some don't believe the report of the Lord. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by a preacher. Amen. If that's how this works, avail yourself to preachers, preaching good news. No one can have faith to receive good things without hearing someone preach glad tidings of good things. Amen. Amen. So, I'm here to bring glad tidings. That's my job. That's what I've been endeavoring to do for years. That's what I'm going to do as many years as I'm on this earth to do it. I'm going to bring good news. There's so much good news, I can't even begin to cover it all. Again, I encourage you, feed yourself on some of these things, and it's so easy to do. Mark 16, 20, please. Mark 16, 20. Jesus had just ascended into heaven. Disciples watched him go. And then they struck out into ministry themselves. Verse 20 says, and they went out, this is the disciples, the apostles, and the people, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. What does he confirm? He confirms the word preached. If someone's not preaching the word, they're preaching something else. There is no confirming by God. And we wonder why in churches nothing happens. There's no presence. There's no anointing. There's no deliverance. Why? Because there's no good news. They're preaching something, but they're not preaching good news. People have the donut man said it this way, there's a hole in the middle of your heart. The donut man was a children's minister, and he used to use donuts as an illustration. Ended up writing lots of songs, became well-known for a while. I think he's still around and all that. But everyone's created with something in them that needs God. And when they reject God, they fill it with something else. A social cause, some religion, something. People, everybody worships something. Well, not me, I don't worship nothing. Yeah, what you give your time and attention to and what you set as priority, that's what you're worshiping. Oh, I just take care of myself and I don't do... Yeah, okay, there we go. You're worshiping yourself. Right? So we're created that way. And so people fill that. Churches fill that need lots of different ways, but not all of them are gospel and not all of them are the Word of God. Amen. Amen. So they went out and preached everywhere, God working with them, confirming the word through accompanying signs. We want accompanying signs. What would an accompanying sign be? Well, if I'm preaching that the good news of God will meet your needs, the accompanying sign would be someone who hears and believes, and faith comes and follows out faith, has a need met that was going previously unmet. That's the accompanying sign. So if we preach that God is here meeting needs, that the good news to the poor or those who need provision is that God will provide for you, the sign will be that God provides for you. Amen. And I want to encourage everybody today. I don't know exactly how I'm going to do this, but here's my hope and my desire. Every one of us comes away stirred today to believe God to meet and provide something more than where we're at right now, whatever that is. That would be a display confirming His Word and a display of His goodness. Amen. A display of His goodness. Maybe something unexpected, maybe something you've been believing for a long time. But I cannot tell you how many times in my life God has moved in my life in terms of resources, finances, needs provided, and so on, that I cannot explain by a salary, a paycheck, and the bank statements. Just can't. God moved. God did things. God brings finances to me. God brings situations and blessings. He has blessed me again and again and again and again, including and even maybe one of the most dramatic, when she was in the hospital and so on, and the bill's going over $1 million and all of that, you know, and the enemy keeps telling me, you are ruined. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose everything. You're going to, at best, find some rundown apartment, maybe in the middle of Kankakee, somewhere where maybe the bullets are flying and all of that, you know, and you're not going to, remember, I said, I need space.
Yeah.
17 acres is almost enough. But anyway, and bullets fly on my place too, but that's just fun shooting. That's the enemy picture that he showed me. Not only did that not happen, and I won't take time to tell a story, but I prospered and grew. And God showed out in such a magnificent and marvelous way, and there is no explanation other than God is awesome. It was beyond what I was believing for. I was believing just for things to be paid. Amen. It was so far beyond paid. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what you call rich. I'm going to call myself rich. God did that. The Lord made me rich. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know what the best thing I could ever do for you? Yeah, write me a check. No, that's not the best thing I could ever do for you. I'll teach you how to connect in God's provision like I've learned and make you rich too. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, to talk about this whole subject, where do you begin? Where do you start? I've chosen to go to Abraham. So let's go to Genesis 12 and verse 1. Genesis 12, 1. Abraham was God's covenant man. So many things started with Abraham. And many of you know the New Testament scriptures, father of faith and so on. But in verse 1 of chapter 12, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family. Boy, there's a clue right there. Some folk you got to get away from, or you'll never prosper. You'll never grow. You'll never get ahead. I'll never forget when I came out of Bible school, became an associate pastor. My senior pastor that I worked for would tell a story, you know, that just has stuck with me all these years, this illustration, you know. And he would talk about, you know, it's like a bucket of crabs. Life can be like a bucket of crabs. Maybe none of you have ever been out crabbing when we are down in Louisiana. I did it with Pastor Ricky. He taught me how down in Beaumont, Texas area there. You know, we would go crabbing and then boil them up, have us some crabs. Maryland is famous for crabs. But when you drop them in a bucket, when there's one or two, you know, they just keep clawing at the side. You get that bucket too full, and they can reach the top, right? But the thing about it is, even if a crab could reach the top and pull himself out, all the other crabs reach up and grab him and pull him back down. People around us are like that. We're in a bucket of crabs, and about the time you reach the edge and you can pull yourself up and you're about to be free, family maybe, other people around you, they will reach up and say, oh, no, you ain't getting free. You're going to stay here with us and pull you back down in the bucket. People are like that. Amen. They don't want you going any faster, any better, reaching any higher. You know, so maybe you need some new friends. Praise the Lord. You can't get new family, so they are what they are. But anyway, so Abram is told to get away from his family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Now, those four words roll out of the tongue pretty easy, and we say to one another sometimes, bless you, God bless you, God has blessed me. And we might not realize the magnitude of God saying to Abraham, I will bless you. I will bless you. I mean, you have to think about who God is, not who Abraham is or Abram. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. See, it's not just about Abraham. He wants to make him a blessing. God's intentions for every one of us is to grow us to the place where not only are we blessed, we are a blessing to others. You can't be a blessing to somebody if you're totally wrapped up in your world where you're just trying to get bills paid, you're beat down in every front, and whenever anybody sees you, you pull them down because you just got nothing to give. You know, well, how's it going? Oh, well, there's this, and there's this, and there's this. And if you're not careful, pretty soon people don't want to call you no more, right? But to be a blessing, you want to be the one that everybody wants to be around. Who do I want to be around? People that in some way bless me. That's who I want to be around. I am interested enough in being a blessing to others that I branch out. I do visit with, socialize with, and so on, other people. Some are such downers you can't, but most I will. Praise the Lord. Even to a point where house next to me is for sale right on the river there, and cute little place and all that. And there was, I think, 4 showings yesterday of that house, 2 the day before, 2 the day before. So a lot of activity around that house. And the couple that lived there just didn't mesh with me. They were definitely city folk and had ideas that just didn't seem to be the same as ideas that I had and so on. And I figured out we better not ever talk about politics and some things, you know, because that just wasn't working at all. So I was trying to be friendly as a neighbor, warned them about the river, how it floods, and different things like that. But pretty soon, I could tell, ooh, hey, they don't like me. The Lord told me, just leave them alone. Just leave them alone. Just leave. So I did. Pretty good job leaving them alone. Well, now there's going to be a new neighbor there. So I'm saying, Lord, somebody new is going to move in. And I ask you to give me a neighbor that will be compatible with me, that will like me, that I can enjoy company and fellowship with. And I stopped and I go, wait a minute. That's making it about me. I said, Lord, scratch that. Give me the neighbor of your choosing, because there may be somebody that needs what I can minister to them. Amen. Give me someone that I can help. Give me someone I can minister to. Give me a neighbor that I can be a blessing to. I tried to be the blessing to the ones before. That wouldn't go nowhere. But anyway, so kingdom first, right? Kingdom first, kingdom first. So you want to grow and prosper till you're a blessing to others as well. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of earth shall be blessed. This may not sound like a lot to you, but it's fully explained further as we go along in the book of Genesis. We won't have time to go through all of that. But Abraham had the blessing of God. When you covenant with God, blessing is upon you. Let's go to the 17th chapter and the 4th verse of Genesis. Genesis 17:4. Another occasion where the Lord speaks with Abram. Verse 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Previously it said it'd make him a great nation. Now it's plural, nations. And notice it's covenant. Verse 6, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. We'll pick back up in a second, but notice he's going to establish a covenant. When God establishes a covenant, it cannot fail. Not from his side. And so God makes covenant with Abraham that he's going to make him exceedingly fruitful. Now, I'm not sure what you think of the word fruitful, but a person living a fruitful life might have many children. Yeah, you could talk about that, and that was part of Abraham's covenant and promise. You might talk about wealth and accomplishments, career. Yeah, that'd be fine. Helping people around him, yeah, that's fruitful. In other words, whatever he touches prospers and grows and helps people around him. Fruitful. That's one of the things that's important to me. I want to be fruitful. I don't want just time to pass. And we're right now in a scenario where, I'll be taking care of Pastor Sandy and staying in the house when I want to get outside and be fruitful. I've got things to do around my place. If you maintain a home, you got stuff you got to take care of, you know. And there's work waiting upon me. There's work here. And I'm in the house taking care of her. And that's very necessary and noble and good. I'm having trouble calling that fruitful time spent compared to some of the other things. But maybe it's the most fruitful time that I'm spending. Amen. But not everybody's fruitful, but God can make us to be fruitful people. Let's go verse 7 again. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant. To be God to you and your descendants after you, and I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. I included this. First of all, covenants last forever. God is prospering, but in light of news even this week, notice Israel was given to Israel in an everlasting covenant. You don't want to bet against Israel. And even though you might not see the people faithful to God, certainly not all the people in Israel faithful to God, He is faithful to them. And I don't know how much you pay attention to things this week, but Israel delivered such a decisive attack on Iran, who is probably, as a nation, enemies of most of the world, and a danger to you and I right here where we sit. And it's just absolute brilliance in things that were executed. And it's even beyond them. It's God at work. and it's an everlasting covenant. I don't think you want to get in the way of an everlasting covenant. Amen? Side note, if you want to call that politics, no, I don't think so. That's covenant. Let's go to Deuteronomy 8:18. So here's a covenant of provision, if you will. Even a covenant of being fruitful, of being of wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18, we're beyond Abraham now. Now we're talking children of Israel and so on. And he says here, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power," that is, gives you the ability, gives you the authorization, gives you the strength, gives you the power to get wealth. It doesn't say the power to get enough that you'll make it or that you'll survive. It says wealth. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you and I have not heard, believed, and act upon the good news word of God that God would meet and provide for us and even get wealth, well, then we could be behind the curve. Amen. But wherever you are today, you can start, pick it up, and go from here. Amen. And we should be, let me say it plain, we should be getting wealth. That's God's covenant to Israel, to Abraham's descendants. And if we get there, we'll get to Galatians where it points out that's us. That's us. We should be getting wealth. Years ago, Pastor Webb, in a meeting here, prophesied by the Spirit of God that he was looking at a church of millionaires. He explained it later. I don't mean millionaires coming to the church. I mean the people in the church becoming millionaires. Amen. Amen. Now that offends some. All them millionaires. By the way, there's many more of them around you than you think. Now there's a famous book called The Millionaire Next Door. Many of the people who are millionaires don't look like millionaires. They're not trying to put on to impress everybody. Amen. And it could be net worth is well in excess of $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, whatever. And to look at them, you might not know it. You know, I have a cousin that's a many time multimillionaire, and you'll see him at your average store or restaurant or something like that. And to look at him, he's probably driving a fairly new truck or something like that. But other than that, to look at him, you wouldn't say, you know, there's a millionaire. And I was in a local restaurant one Sunday, and some of the stories I tell. Had to go to the restroom, so I went into the men's room there, you know, in stalls. And you don't look around. That's not kind, right? But finish, and there he is standing next to me, my cousin. You know, you might be standing next to a millionaire and not even know it. That's what I'm saying, you know. Even millionaires go to the bathroom. So anyway, his covenant is not only meeting your needs. Where I grew up in church, a lot of the folk kept saying, you know, just the basics. God will feed you and clothe you, but after that, and I'm sure they were concerned about greed and covetousness, as you should be. But having money doesn't make you greedy and covetous. I've seen plenty of people with nothing, and they're greedy and covetous. So it's what's already in the heart. The money doesn't do that. I say money doesn't turn you into something different. It reveals what you already were. It's a revealer. Before, you just couldn't act out certain ways. Now you have some money, you act out those ways. Well, those things were already there. But anyway, he's establishing his covenant, and it's a covenant of wealth. That covenant belongs to you, and it belongs to me. And if all I'm doing is trying to get a nostril above water and survive and not thinking a little more than that, I am not thinking about my covenant. My covenant will take, and there may be times, and there were times where Sandy and I were barely making it. And we had, you know, I remember years ago, very young, running a construction company in business, and one of our vendors was talking about their company, and, you know, hey, we're just barely got our heads above water. And I said to him, before I knew better than to talk like this, I said, well, yeah, we're underwater and holding our breath. Praise the Lord. But if you don't, and it may seem so far away, but if you don't think about that, a covenant of wealth, and you don't go to the Word and hear the good news, and hear the good news. Faith comes by hearing. Are you hearing the good news? I'm trying to preach good news today. Are you hearing the news? Are you hearing the news? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You have a covenant of wealth, a covenant of not just enough. Well, before you reach for the million-dollar thing, maybe we need to get the needs met and then redefine what our needs. You don't need just a house. You need a house that's in good repair. Not just a house that's in good repair. Your house might need fresh coats of paint. You might need some furniture. Well, I sat on boxes and crates and things for a while too. But I've moved myself up in terms of what I believe from this covenant. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1, please. We could go so many directions with this, and we'll just hit some of it today. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today." See, there's instructions. You have to listen to the instructions. It says, reading on, "that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." When you get in the flow, and when you obey the voice of the Lord your God and his commandments and so on, you follow after him, blessings start overtaking you. Even the unexpected starts happening. Why? That's his covenant. There may be things that you believe God for, you know, and you pray on that, receive and believe, and there are things that just happen. Just come. I can't tell you how many times that has happened. It's happened many times in our lives. 2 weeks ago, I decided it was time to get back in the airplane. I haven't flown in a long time. I need to fly. I need to just go and fly. And there's a rule that if you haven't had at least 3 landings in the past, I think it's 90 days, that you can't take a passenger with you. So you got to go out there, do 3 landings, right? And then somebody could go with me. So I went out to do at least 3 landings. Went out and did my 3 landings, and I buzzed their house over there, you know, scare the horses and everything. Buzzed my house and so on. But anyway, when I picked up my flight bag to go to the airport, put it on the couch, and I'm checking in my flight bag, do I have things I need? I found $1,100 in my flight bag. And a couple of things occurred to me. Praise God, somebody blessed me. When and where? How did they get to my flight bag? And then the other thought was, did I put that there and don't remember it? That's possible. Maybe I put it there and I don't remember it. And I thought, how blessed am I that I could forget $1,100 cash and discover it? You know, I hadn't flown since last October, so it's been that long. So did I take $1,100 out of my pocket and put it in my flight bag and forgot that it was there? Did somebody bless me? Last place I went was Branson, Missouri. Did somebody in Brother Keith's church, did somebody from my church bless me? What happened? I don't know. Maybe somebody blessed me. I don't even know. But I was pretty unexpected to find $1,100. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country, wherever you are. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Now that was an agricultural society, so this is where you make a living. It's going to be blessed, 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 blessed. Verse 5, blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. In other words, your pantry, food in the house, right? And if you like going out to eat, going out to eat. Verse 6, blessed shall be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies. Debt is an enemy. Blessed shall you be when you, The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing in your storehouses, plural. It's where you've got a supply laid up. Today, this would be your savings account, your checking account, your investment accounts, your flight bag, your purse, your pocket, you know, just blessed in your storehouses. And in all to which you set your hand, whatever you do, what your work, the things you set out to accomplish, He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you, if you keep His commandments, keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in His ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Let me tell you what that means. That means people are going to see the blessing. People are going to see the blessing. Well, if you don't have nothing, there's no blessing being seen. It would mean things like you pull up in a brand new pickup truck, and people go, "Whoo! What happened here? The Lord is good and has blessed me." Amen. Amen. And shall be afraid of you. They'll start understanding as a reputation. That brother's prospering. The Lord is prospering him. That sister, the Lord is prospering him. What verse am I at? 11. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. So much blessing, so much money, that you start lending. Amen. You're able to lend. You're able to help people. You're able to make things happen for other people as well. Hallelujah. Where am I at now? That's 12, 13. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. The next verse starts going in a direction, but if you don't obey, all these curses shall come upon you. And that's some ugly stuff, and we're not going to go. Let's stay on the blessing. Let's go next to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. So we see this covenant of blessing on the Abraham and his descendants, on the Jews, right? And it's a magnificent covenant. And to this day, Israel is going to be successful over and over. Now, there are challenges. There's a lot of hatred. But you're going to see God's covenant working. Amen. And where it said your enemies will be afraid, people should be afraid The enemies of Israel should be afraid of Israel. Our enemies should be afraid of us. Amen. Galatians 3, verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And remember, that's things preached. This is where faith comes. Verse 6, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, now that's non-Jewish people. That's me. God would justify, that's you, the Gentiles, by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham. Well, I don't remember anything being said to Abraham about being born again, believe in Jesus for your sins to be covered. Well, yeah, it was in there, but the good news, I will bless you. That is the gospel. Look what it says. Preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. That is a reference to Jesus, among many other things. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Abraham's blessing, Abraham's covenant of provision and blessing is mine. And it's yours if you are of faith. You're a believer. So not only Abraham and what was said to him, but is expounded further, Deuteronomy 28 that we read, blessed going in, coming out, just blessed, blessed, everywhere blessed. People have this thing, too blessed to be stressed, right? It's a nice saying, how about we live it? If we really understand how blessed we are, and there's a need, something unexpected, something comes up, how much it bothers us. It shouldn't. It shouldn't. And I am still learning and still growing in these things. Let's go to the 13th verse, same chapter, Galatians 3. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, the curse of the law was the verses in Deuteronomy 28 that we stopped short of reading, where it says, all these curses will come upon you. And it talks about being poor and not enough. And it talks about being unhealthy. And it talks about your enemies spoiling you and all kinds of troubles. And so Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That covenant of power to get wealth, not covenant of power to get just enough, but wealth, and the blessing where you're blessed coming in, blessed going out, fruitful, multiply, bless your work, bless your storehouses, just blessed, 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 blessed. I don't see an upper limit in the Scriptures. And if there's a limitation upon us, it is what we put on ourselves and other people help put on too. Amen. Amen. And I'll grant you years of indoctrination of family, this life, churches and religious training we may have had previously, that is difficult to overcome. It takes light and revelation from God and then faith to believe it and pursue it and faith to push through what everybody says. Faith to push through what your own mind thinks. Oh, we don't have enough. There won't be enough. And oh, maybe I better aim a little lower. All that stuff. The blessing of Abraham belongs to me. Does it belong to you? Verse 29 of chapter 3. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. All of that blessing is mine. All of that blessing is yours. Amen. Let's go to Philippians 4 and verse 10. Philippians 4:10. This is our last scripture for today. And like I said, there are so many stories. I was tempted to go in the direction of Abraham and how God kept adding more and more. Abraham was wealthy, and then God made him very wealthy. And even when Abraham was make mistakes, God would turn things for his good, and he would prosper even more. Philippians 4:10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. What does that mean? The Apostle Paul is thanking the Philippians that they sent him offering, that they sent him money to take care of his needs. The Apostle Paul had the habit of not receiving offerings in a church that he was establishing and building. It's a new church. It's a new congregation. Before he asks for offerings, he's got to grow them up in the Word. He would ask churches where he has been to support him to the church where he's now at, establishing and growing. So Paul talks about receiving an offering from the Philippians when he's in a different location. That's what this is about. He says, at last your care has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, that means have next to nothing. I know how to abound, that means having a lot. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, when I was young, growing up in church, becoming an adult and so on, this one was pointed out to me, this scripture, where I'm supposed to be content. No, if you had food today, you got something on your back, you live in some kind of house, just be content. You know, and another place it does say, godliness with contentment is great gain. But years ago, I looked at this word content. Paul says, I have learned to be content. And in some cases, the Greek word and its definition means something different than what we take it to mean when we see a particular English word. This word content means self-sufficient. What? Paul is self-sufficient? I thought he's trusting the Lord, depending on the Lord. And you dig a little further into some of the definitions and so on, what he's saying is I have learned when I don't have enough how to, within myself, apply the word and get what I need through faith in God. What we take it to mean is, hey, don't look for anything more than where you're at. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that Paul knew how, when he didn't have enough, how to change that situation, how to believe God. And with his calling, he'd go to a new place. The money wouldn't keep up with him. He had times where he had nothing. There's an enemy that wants to take from us. Just this life, there will be times when we're abased and times when we abound. Our church history of 28 years now, there have been times where we believe in God that next week we'll still be here. And there's been times of great rejoicing, the great bounty and abounding. Paul says, I've learned how to come through both of those, and I've learned within me, with the Word of God in me, and by faith, I know how to get through it. Amen. You do anything for God, you live in this life, there will be seasons of really growing and prospering and seasons of need. You know, I'm getting old enough, and people around me too, where you start thinking about this thing they call retirement, right? Where you might not work anymore, and will you have money? You want your money to last as long as you do. right? That's perhaps a scary proposition. You look at what the government programs are that you may have paid into for years, and you go, how does anybody survive on that? And I know there are people in the room that can say, I'll tell you how you survive on that. Not very well. But anyway, we still have a covenant of wealth in every face. Paul's learned how to come through a time of need within himself, the word and faith, and provision comes. There are seasons. Now, I have been asking myself a very serious question lately. How much of the seasons do I cause by becoming in any way lax in my faith, lax in my expectation, not bringing enough word into my heart to feed me, and so on? And I'll give you an example I've been thinking about. You may know, last summer, we were really going through, man, and we caught up in the fall, but for quite a while there, I was not seeing anything in our church about, we're going week by week here, and if it continues, we won't exist. But, and of course, I was new in no building. I think I put the tools down in March, a year ago March. Didn't do any building whatsoever. And I have since then thought, God supplies all my need, which we're about to read. And if he told me to build out the place, he didn't tell me to pause once in a while and feel like there's not enough to do any more work. And I wonder if I hadn't brought it on and caused it myself by not believing and keeping the pace and keeping going. And I mean that personally at home, and I mean that at church here as well. Amen. Now, I got past that, I guess, and started sharing with the church, and built up faith, and we built up faith, and we came out of that, right? But I wonder if I didn't cause it. By setting expectations too low. Now, I'm just wondering. I don't have a conclusion, and I'm making Lori nervous. But, you know, looking at checkbook balance and saying, ooh, I guess I'm not going to order any building materials. And I'd report to her like I'd done really good when I could say, yeah, I didn't buy anything at Menards this month. I've been really good. Maybe I wasn't. Because when there's expectation of God's provision, maybe you keep on marching. Anyway, I wonder sometimes if we don't lose sight of this covenant and if we don't bring this on ourselves sometimes. Amen. You can think about that. Verse 14, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. He would teach giving and receiving, but until a church would get up to speed, he depended on where he'd already been. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. What stirred him and made him excited was those that give are receiving a harvest. That was more important than him receiving it. Verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus a thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Verse 19, see, I include the context so you know what's going on. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. We have a covenant of provision. You might call it a covenant of wealth. We take a lot of criticism from people who talk about, you know, hey, they're always claim it, you know, and all of that, the criticisms that we take from believing that God's interested in not only meeting needs, but just look at some of the scriptures that we've read today. God's interested in abundance and being a blessing to others and even wealth. I was mentioning that prophecy of millionaires in this church? There are. There are. And it's been the work of God in the time since he prophesied that. There are millionaires in this church. Amen. Well, why don't you tell me, Pastor Dan, who they are so I can cozy up and, you know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You have to have a good report here and there to encourage you. And you may say, well, I'm so far from millionaire, I don't know that it encourages me. Look, let me tell you, we all can receive the same. Now, there may be one's given five talents, one's given two, one's given one. But even the one can double and triple and so on and come out of where they are. So God has worked a work. There are millionaires in our church. And when Pastor Webb prophesied that, there were not, to my knowledge. You know, I don't know everybody's finances and resources, but, you know, sometimes we just talk amongst one another, different ones. You can see the blessing all over some people. I can see why the blessing is all over those people and so on. And we grow and we prosper and so on. And you need to have the good report here and there, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll give the good report. I'm one. God did that. The Lord did that. Amen. Amen. You may think, well, man, if I was ever a millionaire, I wouldn't have care or concern in the world. Oh, yes, you will. It's all relative. It's all relative. You know, when my house needs repair, it's more expensive than another house needs repair and those kinds of things. So, amen. Praise God. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I can tell you that Sandy and I have been faithful, kingdom first. We have given, we have tithed, we have received. Amen. We have a covenant of wealth. And I love what I heard Brother Keith Moore when he was starting to talk about these things. Where do you start? Where do you begin? He started at Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Is the Lord your shepherd? That word want there could be, maybe should be translated lack. If the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not lack. I look around the building, I can see some lack. It's not God's doing. It's for me to rehearse. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. Some of that provision, he leads me beside the still waters, leads me to green pastures. You know what green pastures are? Plenty to eat. Eating the good stuff. Still waters, there's not a lot of turmoil in life. You can just drink your necessary water in peace and so on. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. You don't need more than that one scripture right there. That one verse, that one verse, that one verse. Is he your shepherd? Is he leading? Are you following? And is he providing? He's the good shepherd. Yes, he's providing. I shall not lack. I declare over Renew Church, we shall not lack. If the Lord's instruction and vision given to me is that we build out and we grow, then the answer is we shall not lack. Maybe there's a time when there's not enough, and we know how to come through that. There will be some seasons, but let's be careful that we don't cause those seasons ourselves by forgetting that I shall not lack. Is there something that's a need in your life? And when I say need, you define what need is. And if you have a car that gets you from here to there, but you need a better one, that can be declared need by you. And you can, with a full heart of confidence and assurance, say, Lord, I need a better car. I need this, or I need that. That's up to you what you declare as a need. I need to take care of my family. I need some land because I'm going to feel great about being a landholder. There's something about owning land. Authority is attached to it. Separate subject, but anyway. Hallelujah. I need the house repaired. Quit this. We're getting by and being okay with that. No, it's time to reach up. Time to reach up. And I want you this week to focus in on something and declare it as a need in your life and understand it from this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. We really need to do some things around our house. Do them. Start making the steps. Start, you know, I mean, it doesn't cost anything to call up somebody and say, hey, how much would it cost to fix such and such? Get a price. Get two prices. Get three prices. Amen. Yeah, we're going to need to do that, you know. Well, you want to start next week or what, you know? Well, I'm not sure I'm ready, or yeah, I'm ready, or whatever it might be. What am I saying? I'm saying if you'll take steps and move, God will meet you in those moves. Why? He's on the line. He's on the line. Now, don't reach way out there. If you're having trouble for a car, don't reach for an airplane just yet. Amen. They cost more. So understand where you're at, but reach. Reach. My God shall supply all you need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe I've preached the word today, and the word will be confirmed, and there will be accompanying signs. If you'll say, okay, I know what that need is, maybe husband and wife, you discuss it, you come up with something together, and you specify it, and you believe that you receive, you release faith for it. Lord, we thank you. You're meeting this need. This is the need we're identifying. This is my homework assignment, Lord. Pastor Dan gave me a homework assignment to believe you for something that I declare that I need. I'm declaring this. Do it this week. And I believe we're going to see, even this week, we'll see some things, I think. You know, but maybe over coming weeks and so on, God meeting the needs, and you shall not lack. Amen. You shall not lack. A couple weeks ago, the Lord really, really, really brought home to me, look, you don't need to worry about your money not lasting as long as you do. I'm taking care of you now. What makes you think I won't take care of you as you, you know, go further down the road and all of that? Somebody may say, well, I don't have any money. I'm already outlasting my money. Well, start there. Start there. God meeting your needs. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm reaching for your heart, and I hope I'm getting there. Hope I'm getting there. Hope I'm getting there. So whether you be someone that, really has some very basic needs, or you are one of the millionaires that I refer to, you know what millionaires need to do? Reach for more blessing, to be more blessing. Last week, one of the greatest offerings we've had in our church in a while. How do you think offerings like that happen? It's the people in the church prospering. Amen. You want your church to prosper, you need to prosper. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I want to do things for people that can't for themselves. And we'll get there. Amen. Well, I've gone on and on and on and on too long. They're going to pass the bucket. And we have a chance to do as the word instructs, kingdom first, give and it shall be given us, bring the whole tithe. Enough said? Yep. That harvest and that blessing belongs to you. But participate in how it works. Amen. Father, we bless you for the offering today. We thank you for harvest and covenant of provision that belongs to us. We thank you.